Pastor Ray Bentley says our wilderness experiences can actually be blessings.
There is a gift in the wilderness. The absolute desperation caused by the wilderness forces people to utterly rely on God. You have to learn by experience that when God is all you have, you discover by experience He's all you need.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Surgery can be painful. Sometimes it hurts worse than the problem the surgery repaired. But surgery is beneficial. It promises long-term benefits. Today, Pastor Ray points out our wilderness experiences have long-term benefits we may have never considered. Good insight for those who are suffering.
Well, we are starting a brand new series and a brand new book. It's called the Book of Numbers, and it's all about being in the wilderness. You guys excited? You ready? Okay, so beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai and the tabernacle of meeting on the first day of the second month in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, 'Take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, every male individually, from 20 years old and above, all who were able to go to war in Israel. You and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man from every tribe, every one the head of his father's house. These are the names of the men who shall stand with you, from Reuben,'" and then he goes on to the list of names. So what's the point of the book of Numbers? Well, the first thing that God does is he says, "I want you to count. I want you to take a census." And really what God is building is an army. And so God is preparing the army of Israel for a battle. It is not only a physical war, but it's a spiritual war with giants and with demonic forces, we might even add. And they must go in to conquer the promised land. Well, interesting, the wilderness is a great metaphor of life. And I want to talk about what that wilderness is like. So we have several points in your outline. Number one, the wilderness is a place of life or death. It is called the wilderness because of the lack of water and unrelenting heat. When God first made the world, He did not make deserts, badlands. He did not make wilderness places, and He certainly did not make thorns and thistles. That came as a result of the curse and the fall, and when Adam and Eve sinned, it affected the rest of creation, which was under our domain. In the Bible also, the wilderness is pictured as a place for unclean spirits. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 43, Jesus said, "When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through the waterless places seeking rest." So that's number one. The desert or the wilderness is a place of life or death. Number two, the wilderness is also, we discover, a place of refuge and the supernatural. Those seeking to escape pursuit will find in the wilderness a cave, a safe place, a zone where you are protected from the enemy. In fact, that's where David ran and fled in the wilderness to an oasis called En Gedi in the middle of the Judean desert and wilderness and hid within a cave. And there were more than one cave. And he hid from Saul and he was able to survive. The enemy was using Saul to try to kill David. And the enemy will use his surrogates to try to take you out. But the Lord provides a place of safety. And ironically, sometimes it's when you have been thrust into a wilderness. We don't usually choose to, "Hey, let's go out into the, wilderness." We get thrust into the wilderness like poor Moses, who was raised in the home of Pharaoh, miraculously saved, brought into Pharaoh, and in the lap of luxury, raised up in royalty. But there came a day when he was cast out and thrown into the wilderness. But that was all part of God's plan. God our Father is a good Father. He knows what's best for us. And he knew the exact time when Moses was ripe and ready to be thrown into the wilderness. And by the way, it was the best thing that could ever happen to Moses, because it was there that he found a refuge. From being a somebody, he became a nobody. And yet it was when he was a nobody that he had a divine revelation of God to him personally. Amen? There is a gift in the wilderness. The absolute desperation caused by the wilderness forces people to utterly rely on God. We have to learn how to rely on God. You have to learn by experience that when God is all you have, you discover by experience he's all you need. And so God has to bring us sometimes into a wilderness place so that the things that we lean on, whether we know it or not, are stripped away. And finally, you come to a place where you're totally, completely, utterly dependent upon God. You see, the wilderness is a very exciting place. It's where we're so on the edge and so desperate, God gets to reveal his power, his glory, his presence. Whereas he could still do that if we're in the land, but once they got in the land, they never saw it again. It doesn't mean God wasn't there, the cloud or the fire, but they didn't need him in the same way. They had their homes, their shelter. Sometimes with our comforts, we don't realize the supernatural that is with us until we come into the wilderness. Now, the next thing, the wilderness is a place of divine revelation. Divine revelation. For those seeking a vision of the supernatural or a divine encounter with God, they will often find it in the wilderness places. For some reason, when the worldly comforts are removed from us and we find our spirit opening up and desperately crying out to the Lord, we become sensitive to the supernatural. When Moses was thrust into the wilderness while he was shepherding the sheep in the wilderness, that's where he saw a burning bush. So I believe that God brings us into the wilderness because he wants to show you something that you've never seen before. He wants to reveal something to you that you've never known or experienced of him before. Moses saw a burning bush and received the greatest revelation in human history to that point. How awesome is that? Elijah fasted for 40 days and nights in the wilderness before he arrived at Mount Sinai to hear the word of the Lord. And according to Jesus, the greatest prophet of the entire Old Testament, greater than Moses, greater than Elijah, was none other than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, whose prophetic words came forth as a voice, crying, where? In the wilderness. In Jerusalem, the glory had departed. At the temple, there was nothing supernatural going on. You had a lot of religion, and you had a lot of Pharisees and a lot of Sadducees and a lot of a controlled environment, but nothing spiritually was happening. So God sent John the Baptist into the wilderness, and he got so filled and inflamed with the Spirit, he started preaching when there were no people around. Read it in the Bible. He started preaching to the mountains and to the skies and to the creatures of the wilderness. Repent and get ready, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then when he saw Jesus, whom he had told, you're going to see the Messiah, you point him out. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And eventually, as he was preaching like a wild man in the deserts with nobody around, a couple of people on their way to Jerusalem heard him. They said, wow, that guy's yelling his head off. Let's go hear what he has to say. So they went and listened, and they were cut to the heart. They were pierced. Why? Because Israel had not heard the authentic voice of the power and presence of the Spirit of God through a prophet in 400 400 years. The last time they had had a prophet was in the days of Malachi. That was 400 years before Jesus. Can you imagine the people of Israel being without an authentic voice with the ring of truth in it for 400 years? And then John started preaching, and those little stragglers who first heard him went to Jerusalem and said, man, you got to go out to the desert and hear this guy. And before you know it, dozens are going out, hundreds are going out, and then thousands were going out until finally nobody was coming to the temple. And they said, hey, where'd everybody go? And they go, they're hearing some wild man out in the desert preaching his head off. So they went out to listen to him. And there was John the Baptist said, who warned you of the wrath to come? Why, you brood of snakes and vipers? I mean, it wasn't a very fun time for them. I love John the Baptist. He was like the original biker for Jesus, you know, bugs in his teeth. But he said, repent. After Jesus' own baptism, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to pray and fast for 40 days and nights before he entered his ministry. I wonder today, you and I, you're in a wilderness. The question is, do you realize it? We are not in our ultimate home yet. We are in, as it were, a wilderness. And it's a place of life or death. And I want you to know this. Jesus is our bridge of divine revelation. He has passed through the great human wilderness of human experience. And his words are directly from the Father. And if you listen to them, you will make it and survive where many around you will perish. Because as we note here, these things that happened to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, happen as examples for us today. We were meant as a Christian congregation following Jesus Christ to know and read and follow the stories of the children of Israel in the wilderness in the book of Numbers. Why? Because they're an example for us. Why the book of Numbers is so important about going through the wilderness, how to go through it, know this, the entire generation of Israeli people perished in the wilderness. 2 million people died, and they never entered into the inheritance God had for them, except two. 2 million died, two lived and went into the promised land. And because of their example also and faith, even to this day, thousands of years later, you know what those two guys' names are. What are they? Joshua and Caleb. So I ask you this question. What group do you want to follow? Do you want to be with the herd, the 2 million people that every time there hadn't been, you know, yeah, God did a miracle, they would cry, oh God, you're mean, you sent us here to die, you don't care about us. Oh, there's water out of a rock. Okay, thanks. Well, now we're hungry. We're tired of manna. Oh, God, you're so mean. You give us manna every day. Manna this, manna that. And, you know, we're tired of manna. This is funny to me, but they complain. How do you be in the desert where there's no food and God rains angel bread down and feeds you every day for 39 years and then complain about the menu? And God, I mean, he says, you want meat, I'll give you meat till it's coming out your nostrils. And he sent quail to them. But the point was, they weren't satisfied even with the quail. They complained at every turn, over and over and over again. They lost the lesson that it was an opportunity to draw close to God. But there were two that had faith, Joshua and Caleb. I want to follow their example, and I want to be in their number. Amen? All right, we're going to look at a couple of life lessons as we wrap this up. Number one. The Lord brings us into the wilderness to return to our first love. That's the purpose. Look at this. Hosea 2:14. Let's read it. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. Do you know what God says? He says, you know, Israel, that's where I fell in love with you. I fell in love with you. Not, you know, in the days when King Solomon and gold and jewelry is everywhere, and God's blessed them and prospered them, and that's great. That's when they fell in love with the riches and fell out of love with God. He goes, but when you fell in love with me, when I was all you had and when I was all you needed in the wilderness. He says, I drew you there. You know, sometimes when, you know, a young couple and they get married, when you're young and you're in the burning passions of young love and getting married, you don't need a lot other than love, you know, to get married. It's a wonderful thing. You know, my first experience even as pastoring a church, and I was 20 years old. And by the way, when I met Vicky, I was in Bible school. So I get out of Bible school. I need a job. So, because we're going to get married in a few months. And the only job I could get was, you know, basically working in people's yards and lawns. So Vicky calls her mom in St. Louis. And, you know, she's got 9 brothers and sisters from a large Catholic family. So her mom, who hasn't been to San Diego, doesn't know me. And one of her first questions is, what does he do? And she goes, well, he's a landscape architect. And in the background, one of her 6 brothers yells, he clips lawns! And they were so worried for her that 2 of her brothers, and by the way, her dad, who is the shortest in the family, 6'4", and all the other brothers, 6 brothers, they go up from there. I used to go to their house, sit in the chair, and I felt like a little kid. The arms are way up here, my legs dangling. Anyway. So they were going to send 2 brothers to rescue her. But they didn't. And in those early days, by the way, you know, I was so in love when I'd met her, you know, in Bible school, and then we'd gone through the Bible school, and then we're going to go different ways, and so I asked her to marry me, and guess what she did? When I asked her to marry me, well, let me tell you this. The day that I asked her to marry me, and I was totally oblivious to, I had no idea the calendar date it was April 1st. So when I asked her, will you marry me? She started dying laughing. I want to tell all the single girls here, don't do that to a guy who's just got the courage to ask you. She starts laughing. I go, what? And she goes, April Fools. And really quick, I had to think fast on my feet. I got a little download. I said, Lord, a panic. And then a download. I said, honey, I'm just a fool for love. So, I don't think I would have ever remembered the day, you know, you try to remember your anniversary, but I don't think I would have remembered the day I asked her, except I remember that one forever. But when we started our church in the school cafeteria out in East County at El Cajon High School with these little metal folding chairs, and we had to, you know, fold everything up into this little trailer, we were like in the wilderness. We owned nothing. I was so poor my first year of ministry that the government, you know, the money I paid in taxes, they said, you're below the poverty line, and they sent it all back. I was like, wow. But, you know, it was in those days, I have special memories. It was days when you would go to the mailbox, and maybe you go through the mail, and you open it, and maybe somebody sent you a check for $25. It was like, woohoo, we're having steak tonight, you know. And we had a lot of potlucks to get through. But God has been so good, and he's been so faithful. But I look back on those early days. And, you know, look here. Look, God is blessed. We're getting ready to develop 5 acres here, build a high school over there. It's awesome. But I fell in love with God, not because of all these blessings. I fell in love with God when I had nothing. But I had my wife and my Bible and a few friends and a fellowship that we loved sharing life together. Amen? So, the second lesson, the wilderness teaches that God is in the midst of us. If you could have if you were to look down, let's say from a God's eye view or from a drone's view of Israel, God said, okay, 3 tribes, so God's in the middle, and then 3 tribes camp to the north, 3 to the south, 3 to the east, 3 to the west. And not all the tribes were of the same number. So go with me in your imagination in a drone and go up and look down at the encampment of the 12 tribes, 3 in each of the 4 directions. Do you know what you would see on the ground? The form of a cross. Because of the numbers, it would look just like, is that awesome? It's amazing. God is in our midst. 1 Corinthians 6:19, let's read this. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I want to say to you in closing this morning that for indeed the kingdom of God is in your midst. It is within you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is in us, listen, the first place to encounter God needs to be in our spirit. It is inside of you, not outside of you. We keep wanting to go to heaven and bring it down. And God says, yeah, I want you to enjoy heaven. In fact, you're seated in Christ in heavenly places, but you can't go up to heaven to bring it down. God actually has already put heaven inside of you. Through the person of the Holy Spirit, you and I, as 1 Corinthians says, are little mobile tabernacles and the Holy of Holies, where the glory of God supernaturally already dwells, is in the deepest part of you. Christianity is not lived from the outside in. That's how we learn how to live as human beings. But I want to say to you this morning, you're not merely a human being with a body. You are a spirit. You are a spirit and a spiritual man. You are a spirit woman. You have a spiritual eternal nature. And we need to reverse our learning and our identity and our understanding and our authority. We are to live from the inside out. So if you want to go to heaven and experience the power and the presence and the glory of the kingdom of heaven, the way to get into the glory of heaven is to go through your heart. Is to enter into a communion and a fellowship and a closeness and an embracing and an engaging of the Spirit of the Lord and the glory of the Lord that is already in your heart. That's what daily, it's all about relationship. And as you enter into the relationship inside, the next thing you know, you'll open your eyes and you will be in heaven. You will be experiencing the power of heaven and the glory of heaven. It is not something that we bring down from heaven, but it's releasing the glory of heaven from within. It is important for us to realize that God, the God of the universe, lives inside of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with great insight today from our studies in the book of Numbers. Glad you've joined us here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention Journey in the Wilderness. It's available for just $7. And again, the title, Journey in the Wilderness. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Numbers on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. What's the most surprising facet you uncover in your book? What brings the biggest wow when you tell people about this material?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is learning about the feasts of the Lord. I think the church has done a great job of looking at the feasts in the spring that go from Passover, when Christ was crucified, to the resurrection, and then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell. But there are three more feasts that are in the fall, and those three feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and really are all about the second coming. They all point to the days I think we're living in right now, Dave, and I think people will be fascinated to learn more about these feasts, how they reveal more about Jesus Christ and the hope of His return.
You know, many New Testament believers look at the feasts as simply an historical fact, and they don't really actually pull that material into their day-to-day relationship with the Lord, but that really is a mistake, isn't it?
It is. The next feast to be fulfilled, it's all these allusions, really, to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling for people to look into this and understand deeper layers that will ignite their faith and put fire in their soul for sharing the Lord.
All right. Well, Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Numbers. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.